Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Here comes Jonathan, high steps front court, scoops it out to Ross. Look out, the elephant gun for three, bingo. Terrence Ross, another triple outside left. That's his fourth of the night. That's his fifth of the night. He's only taken seven out there. He's made five of them. And a Magic lead, 94-61.
Hey, how about that? How about a Sunday fun day for the Orlando Magic? And how about that? They've claimed wins in four of their last five contests. We have a lot to talk about here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Most notably, what have you seen out of this Orlando Magic team over the course of the last, really, week and a half? I mean, think about it. You go all the way back to about two Fridays ago when they hosted the Clippers inside the Amway Center. And you tell me if you think this is the exact same team that you saw on that night, and I will guarantee that 95% of you guys say no. Because what we have seen, the difference in this team from that Friday is astronomical. We've seen Aaron Gordon play much better. We've seen Mo Bamba get a little bit of his footing. We've seen Terrence Ross in the second unit really, really play well. And last night in the opening minutes of a game against the New York Knicks, they ran roughshod over them and never let off the gas. And perhaps that is the most important thing, is they won 115-89 over the New York Knicks. It was a game in which they led from start to finish, claimed all four frames, and never let up. And perhaps if you're an Orlando Magic team or fan, that is the thing you're most impressive about last night's basketball game. So here's what we have coming up here on the show today. We're going to talk about the Magic and the Wizards, who are coming up in a little bit more than an hour. It is a 7:10 tip time tonight from our nation's capital. We'll also talk to Fred Katz of The Athletic as he joins us here in segment number one. But before we do that, let's get some propaganda in. Hey, Magic fans, book a suite for any December game and make your holiday pure magic. Choose between two all-inclusive holiday packages and enjoy first-class service with premium amenities. What are you waiting for? Book your holiday party today by calling 407-89-MAGIC. Okay, with all that said and done, let's go ahead and go up to our nation's capital as we welcome in Fred Katz of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at F-R-E-D. That's Fred Katz, K-A-T-Z. Does a fantastic job. And I'll tell you what, Fred, I really enjoyed reading a lot of your stuff this morning, most notably about this Wizards team, which I think me, myself, and the rest of the NBA community is trying to wrap our heads around exactly what is going on with this Wizards team. But based out of my basic analysis of what I saw three nights ago on Friday, defensively, this team right now has a long ways to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. They're in the bottom five of the league right now in points allowed per possession. And you know, offensively, they're not there either. The rebounding has been really off. They're last in the NBA in rebounding on both sides of the floor right now in terms of offensive and defensive rebound rate. But defensively, communication has really struggled. They've struggled to guard the three-point line. They've struggled guarding pick and rolls. They picked it up a lot in the last really two quarters against Miami on Saturday when they won on the second half of back-to-backs themselves. So that's, you know, I guess a little bit encouraging. They changed some of their weak side defensive schemes there, which maybe could help them a little bit moving forward. But yeah, I mean, that's an optimistic take. They really struggled on the defensive end.
I was going to say, when you look at it, 119 points per game, which is 30th in the loop, their defensive rating is 115.9. They gave up 100 and what was it, 17 points to this Magic team, which is not a very good offensive team at all. But at the same time, you go back to last year, and this was a league average defense. I mean, it's correctable for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think their issues are not necessarily issues of personnel. I'm not saying that if everybody was playing the right way, they'd be a top five defense. But if everybody was playing the right way, it wouldn't be a bottom five defense. Like, I think their issues are issues of cohesion, where they don't necessarily communicate at times, or certain guys don't, show effort on particular plays, or you know, the wrong guy calls a switch. You know, you see examples of them guarding a pick and roll and the guy guarding the front end of the pick and roll calls a switch as opposed to the back end, which is really the more conventional way. You know, you just see those kinds of like weird, quirky things where like NBA teams don't necessarily do things that way and be successful on the defensive end. And that's kind of where the struggles have begun.
I was going to say, because to me, this core group has been together for a long time. I mean, when you look at the Wizards, this is not a team that cohesion and communication-wise, I mean, Brad Beal and John Wall have been together a long time. Otto Porter has been there. I think now he's in his sixth year. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot of new pieces, though, are there?
No, I mean, there's Dwight Howard, but obviously Howard missed, the beginning part of the year. And you got, the additions of Jeff Green, the addition of Austin Rivers. But you're right. For the most part, that core, I mean, Porter and Wall and Beal, those guys have been together for a long time. And, you got other contributors on the roster who have been there for a little while. And, yeah, you think that continuity would bring that cohesion that we talked about. But at least through, 12 games or whatever it's been, it hasn't.
All right, let's talk about Dwight Howard. That's a guy that we got to know here very well in Central Florida, went to an NBA Finals, went to a number of playoff appearances with him. You guys are still getting to learn about Dwight Howard and everything that he is. What are the initial kind of responses to Dwight Howard, and how has he seemed to fit in there?
I think he's still working his way back. I think Dwight would be the first person to tell you that physically he's just not there right now. Seems to be in a lot of pain with the piriformis injury that, kept him out for the first 7 games of the Wizards season and the entire preseason and all the exhibition games, training camp, all that. And I think he's just not 100%. He said after the Miami game on Saturday that he's still playing on a leg and a half. He can't sit down on the bench. He gets up and walks around, or he lies down. He told me that he eats food when he's in bed because it hurts too much to sit down for the length of a meal. So I think Dwight is still very much working his way back in terms of physically and even, putting the pain aside that he has to fight through. I just think conditioning-wise, he's not there. He doesn't seem to have the leap that he did. He's also been pretty open about that. Now we'll see if the issue is conditioning or if the issue is that we're talking about Dwight in his 15th NBA season, and big men in their 15th NBA season are not usually athletic as they are in their 6th season. So we'll see moving forward if that's just a conditioning thing and it gets better and Dwight looks like, not the Dwight of old, but the Dwight of 2017, or we'll see if this is just what Dwight looks like now.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the Dwight of 2017 was still a very serviceable center in the NBA, and you would think that there's a lot of years that have been put on those legs for a long, long time. There's a lot of games that have been played on that body over the course of years. So you would think that at some point it would bounce back. How about Austin Rivers? That was a guy that I watched Friday night that didn't necessarily seem like himself. This was a guy in a Clippers uniform that almost seemed a little bit more aggressive, a little more pit bullish. But I didn't see that Friday night in Orlando. And maybe we started to see a little bit of him finding himself in this offense the other night in Miami.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It almost looked like Rivers just decided like, you know what? This is it. I am going to be me in the most extreme version of being me. And that's kind of what he did. He seemed like he shot most of the time that he was able to touch the ball. Every time he got a good look, he was putting it up in that Miami game. And you're right. He wasn't just hesitant in that Orlando game. Like, he's been hesitant the entire year to start the year. It's not just on him, though. Like, I put out a piece before that Miami game came out on how little he's really touched the ball. He's actually been shooting on about the same percentage of his touches as he did with the Clippers the last couple of years. But the big change is that he's just not getting those touches. His touches are down to about 50 touches per 36 minutes played. They were at about 74 touches per 36 minutes played last year, which is a really significantly massive drop. I mean, his touches per game have been about the same as Jan Mahimi's, who's the defensive-minded center who never really touches the ball and is not at all involved in the offense. And I think they found him more. And I think he was more assertive in getting the ball. He was a little bit more active off the ball, making sure that he got it, and he wasn't giving it up as soon as he got it. And he was decisive in his actions, whether he was playing on or off the ball. And I think that made a really big difference for him.
I was going to say, because you can look at him and with the Clippers last year, he was about 15 points per game, and he was pretty steady for them. But it also takes time when you join a new team and you play the position that he does to kind of acclimate yourself. And then at the same time, when you have two guys like Brad Beal and John Wall that are ball-dominant players, it takes a while to learn where your shots within the offense come from, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he had this quote earlier this year that made me laugh just because it was just phrased so intensely. He said, "I'm not a fit-in guy. I'm a guy who goes in other people's throats." And I just quote it to myself all the time. Candace Buckner, the Wizards beat reporter from the Washington Post, and I constantly we will reference that quote every single chance we get in conversation, because it was just great, and it is a self-aware quote from Austin Rivers. He's not, and I think even though intellectually he knew that, and he knew what type of player and person and personality, I should say, that he is. He wasn't playing like that. He was clearly, when you watch him on the basketball court, trying to fit in, especially when Brooks plays those small lineups and he's next to Brad Beal and John Wall, who are obviously both very good players and, you know, who need the ball and are very ball dominant players, especially Wall. So I think Rivers really was trying to fit in. And I saw in that Miami game, I was like, all right, he's going at people's throats again. This is Austin Rivers. Yeah, this is the second half of Austin Rivers, which makes more sense.
I was going to say, I kind of want to steal that. I saw that in your article, and I was like, that is fantastic. You know, you mentioned Candace Buckner, and I thought she had a fantastic piece that came out before the Orlando game on Friday, most notably about the patience that it seems like the front office is displaying with the head coach and Scott Brooks. Can you kind of speak to what the temperament is around him right now? Because let's be honest, this team has not gotten out of the gates the way that it thought it has. This is a veteran team that their core has been around, and they're trying to take that next step. What is kind of the situation surrounding Scott Brooks, and what's the climate there for that?
Yeah, you know, I think for now, Scott is in an okay position. It part of that has to do with his contract. And I'm sorry about the background noise, by the way, but this is what you get in a pregame in an arena an hour before a game actually is played. I think part of that has to do with the contract. You know, he's on the third year of a five-year, $35 million deal, and the Wizards are already paying money in luxury tax. And, you know, you really want dead money of 3 years and $21 million left paying a coach when you got to also go out and hire another coach? And I think for now, the answer is no. I also think there are a lot of people who don't really believe that this start is necessarily Scott's fault, or at least don't think it's his fault enough to where if they just got rid of him, everything would be peachy and better and great. You know, there have been the locker room problems, which the team has been open about. I mean, they've opened up about, you know, fighting over shots and that kind of stuff without us even asking about it. You know, there are the defensive effort issues, there are the personality clashes, that kind of stuff. I don't think a lot of people believe that, like, some great locker room coach would be able to pull those guys together and that Brooks is failing. I mean, if you remember in OKC, that was Brooks's rep.
Yeah.
His whole thing was like, look how hard he gets this young team to play. Look how everybody buys in. Look how great that locker room is. I mean, that was his rep in Oklahoma. So, you know, obviously I'm a big believer that most coaches, you know, when you stop short of Greg Popovich and Brad Stevens and Eric Spoelstra and Rick Carlisle, good coach and bad coach is not a great way to describe a coach, because being a good coach or a bad coach is pretty much situational. You're a good coach for that team or you're a bad coach for that team. Lionel Hollins was a great coach for the Memphis Grizzlies. He was a terrible coach for that Nets roster. It's really situational. It depends on your players and the way that they react to you and personalities and the people around you and the situation the organization puts you in. And I think right now the organization has put whoever the coach might be in not the greatest position ever.
That is a perfect way to put it. And we have Richie Adubato on our radio broadcast crew, and he always talks about it. A coach needs to be a perfect fit for a team, and that is a fantastic way to put it. Hey, Fred, thank you so much for taking the time. I know we're less than an hour away until tip, so I really appreciate you doing this live for us.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Anytime. That was Fred Katz of The Athletic. You can check him out on Twitter at Fred Katz. He mentioned his piece about Austin Rivers. Remember, Austin Rivers is an Orlando guy, Central Florida guy. Fantastic write-up on him. Also has a good one on Dwight Howard. Go check it out. Go read his stuff. Go support The Athletic. When we return here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, we'll take a look at what the starting five looks like tonight for the Orlando Magic. Is Aaron Gordon back in the local five's five? And also, what to expect inside the Capital One Arena tonight. All that and more coming up here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
sends it over to Simmons. Hooks it back up top. Grant feeds Bamba. He's right underneath. He'll hook it up over the top of Robinson. Go ahead and block that one. 7'10 reach. You ain't going to get up there unless you got a step ladder in your back pocket. 87-60. Nice shot by Mo Bamba. His second field goal of the night. He's got 4 points, 3 rebounds. He's played just 9 minutes off the bench for the Magic. 27 is the Magic lead. Trier drives in. Bamba blocked him. Right down low right.
How about Magic rookie Mo Bamba last night? 18 minutes of action. He finished 5 of 11 from the floor for 15 points. He was a plus 12 in the final box. And really, how about Mo over the course of his last two games? I ran the numbers today because I was a little interested of what, you know, some growth for rookie players might be. You know, every rookie in any NBA season goes through highs and lows, no matter what. Whether it's out of the gates, whether it's at the end of the season, whether it's in the dog days of the campaign. At some point throughout the course of that season, they're going to have dips in their production, and they're also going to have high water marks. And, you know, the 7 games prior to the last 2 basketball games, Mo Bamba had combined for 41 points, and that was being generous and giving him that little extra. Over the last 2 games, he's combined for 30. He's looked much more comfortable in the offense, and he really seems like he's picking and choosing his spots much more effectively. Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center here on 96.9 FM. Coming up here in about 12 minutes, we'll be joined by Brandon Kravitz of Magic tonight. And then at about 7 o'clock, it'll be the Magic as they get set to go back-to-back tonight as they take on the Washington Wizards team. This is a Wizards team that the Magic played just 3 days ago. In fact, it was here inside the friendly confines of the Amway Center. They'll run it back tonight. And oddly enough, this is a Wizards team that has a little bit different of a feel to it when you look at what they did down in South Beach. Their first 2 frames, a little bit iffy, kind of the same thing we saw in Orlando. The last 2, much more aggressive on the defensive side of the basketball, much more coherent with where they're at. Okay, let's check the lineups. Cody, hit it.
It's game night. Now let's break down tonight's Magic matchup.
Well, if I were to sit here and tell you that 13 games through this NBA season that the Magic would be 1 game under .500, how many of you would have raised your hands? Going to guess not a whole lot. That's where they're at tonight. The Magic take their 6-7 ledger out on the NBA road once again. And it's a road record that they're above 500. 3-2, they'll take on a Washington Wizards team that has been a little confusing, a little perplexing, a little frustrating to the D.C. natives. They're 3-9, 1-3 inside the Capital One Arena. This game will commence at 7:10 tonight. At the point guard position, no doubt about it. The guy that you're trying to contain, the guy that you're trying to stop, and the guy that honestly you just wish didn't have the basketball in his hands ever would be John Wall. 6'4", 210 pounds, 29 points, 9 assists the other night in Miami. He's averaging 21 points per game, 8.5 assists, 3.3 rebounds per game. Simply put, as Dennis Newman likes to say, he is a man with turbo chargers and his sneakers, and he gets out and goes, and that'll be the hardest thing for the Magic tonight. He'll go opposite of one DJ Augustine, who really, since about that San Antonio Spurs game, has looked much more comfortable. He's gotten the offense into sets where they can be successful, and he's helped this Magic team traditionally. Evan Fournier at the 2 spot will go opposite of Brad Beal. You know, when you talk about the Wizards, it's always how can you contain their guards? And it starts with John Wall, and it pretty much ends with Brad Beal. Those two guys are the head of the snake, and you have to find a way to cut it off. At 6'5", 207 pounds, the Florida product is averaging 22.6 points per game, 3.5 assists, 4.4 rebounds. He had 27 the other night in Orlando, and that was after a rough shooting night. Simply put, if you want to have success tonight, you have to find a way to contain those. He'll go opposite of Evan Fournier, who has double figures in all but one game this year. He had 15 points the last time against the Wizards. How about the job that Wes Iwundu has done in that 3-guard spot, filling in for Jonathan Isaac? At times, he has been very good. At times, we also saw that Wes Iwundu that we saw last year. He goes opposite of the other max contract guy, Otto Porter, at 6'8", 198 pounds. How about this at the 4 spot? Last night, we learned at about 7 o'clock that Aaron Gordon was not going to be available for the Magic. We learned today at about 5 o'clock that he is good, he is ready to go, and he will start for this Orlando Magic team, and that is a positive. Look at what Aaron has done over the course of his last, really, 4 basketball games. At least 15 points in all 4, he's put up 20 or more in 3 of those 4 basketball games. When Aaron Gordon is playing well, when he's playing energized, when he's out hustling, this Magic team is a completely different animal. He goes opposite of one Markieff Morris. Okay, at the center spot, this is where it gets really interesting. Have a day, Nick Vucevic. 21 points the other night, 14 boards. Nick has been this team's most integral piece, and he continues to be the focal point of their offense. The basketball has to touch his hands every time through, and you'd like to see Nick get involved early. He goes opposite of a former Magic man, Dwight Howard, 6'11", 265 pounds. If you're just now tuning in, go back, listen to the podcast version of this show. I thought Fred Katz, who joined us in segment number one, had some fantastic takes on maybe some of the things that Dwight Howard has gone through throughout the course of, what are they, they're 12 games in, of what he's gone through early in the season, maybe how his body feels, some good stuff there. Okay, just a reminder, choose from any 7 games with your Atlanta Magic Flex plans, choose the best seats to the best games, and save big off-gate prices. See top opponents all year long, like the Golden State Warriors or LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. All you've got to do, call 407-89-MAGIC to purchase a Flex plan today. All right, that'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic tonight with Brandon Kravitz is just around the bend. We're about 7 minutes away from that. And then, of course, right here on 96.9, you can catch the Magic, you can catch the Wizards, beginning at 7 o'clock with Dennis Newman on the call. That does it for us here today. Dante is back in his chair tomorrow. Same time, same place. Don't touch that dial. See you guys.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.